This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org.
Through November and December of 2009, the Global Health Policy Center at CSIS held a worldwide call for essays. And we asked the question, what is the most important thing the United States can do to improve global health in the next 15 years? Today, we are highlighting our second-place student winner, Andrew Robertson, in his essay, Improving Global Health Through Scientific Development. Andrew Robertson is completing his law degree at the University of California, Berkeley, with a focus on intellectual property, science policy, and global health. Andrew was a Gates Scholar at Cambridge University and holds a PhD in molecular genetics.
In late 2005, I traveled to Entebbe, Uganda, to participate in my first of a series of H5N1 influenza, or bird flu, regional training workshops for African scientists. At the time, the U.S. government was engaging the developing world to educate scientists about the pathology, epidemiology, and detection of the growing H5N1 threat. During my presentation on the U.S. international bird flu strategy, I grew concerned that many in the audience looked skeptical. Finally, a doctor from South Sudan stood and asked, "Why is it that the U.S. considers H5N1 to be a priority for African countries?" I answered with mortality statistics from past influenza pandemics, but the purpose behind the question was clear. Bird flu was important, but it was a Western priority. The workshop participants came from countries with their own health crises, such as endemic disease, famine, drought, poverty, and conflict, and wanted to learn how to confront these challenges head-on. They hadn't come to Entebbe that week to learn about U.S. policies on bird flu. They came to learn about the science. Strengthening scientific research capacity in low- and middle-income countries is the single best way for the U.S. to improve global health over the next 15 years. Currently, building research infrastructure, including institutional and regulatory frameworks, academic institutes, and sufficiently skilled people to conduct and publish research, is overlooked by a majority of global health programs. Most programs in low- and middle-income countries are planned and operated by developed nations and reflect the donor country's priorities, values, and politics. Programs that develop local research capacity and scientific infrastructure are desperately needed, and over 15 years can create a powerful, sustainable weapon against global disease. The benefits of scientific development have been widely acknowledged. Increased science capacity will, for example, strengthen neglected disease research and drug development, boost human capital and infrastructure, build up disease surveillance capabilities, and develop scientifically sound healthcare policies. Significantly, increased science capacity also allows developing countries to determine their own health priorities. While the past decade has seen an increase in funding of a few specific diseases, most notably HIV/AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria, these initiatives left traditional health indicators such as maternal and child health and vaccination coverage underfunded and understaffed. As new health challenges emerge due to factors like overpopulation and climate change, a local, educated infrastructure, in coordination with established global health authorities, can help countries identify their own funding priorities and increase the impact of their global health programs. But critically, a long-term investment in science capacity within developing countries will also help address the root causes of global health disparities. Research programs can build a developing nation's economy by driving social and technological innovation. The diplomatic effects of cross-border research programs have been shown to strengthen international ties and help mitigate regional conflict. Developing a strong science program will help retain a nation's best thinkers, adding to the next generation of social advocates and political leaders. These advantages extend from the collaborative and thesis-driven nature fundamental to scientific research. Scientific development addresses both the immediate challenges in global health as well as the underlying conditions in which those challenges emerged. There are signs that many developing countries are making deeper investments in national science, but progress is mixed. Countries such as Cuba, India, and China have seen notable growth in national research programs over the past 10 years with impressive results, yet most developing countries invest less than 1% of the gross domestic product in research and development. This compares with 2.5% in the United States. While the number of researchers in developing countries has increased by 45% over the past decade, per capita this number is only 1/10 that of developed nations. Universities in countries such as Nigeria and Kenya are struggling to keep talented scientists from immigrating to developed nations, and often faculty vacancies can reach as high as 40%. Sustaining a science program capable of impacting health issues is nearly impossible under these conditions. At the end of the Entebbe workshop, a Nigerian scientist shocked me by mentioning that her research department could not afford access to many important science and medical journals. As a former geneticist, I knew that access to scientific literature is crucial, and barriers could cripple research through academic isolation. The United States has made some contribution to building science overseas, but more must be done. Developing scientific capacity requires long-term political commitment, national research strategies, budget lines, skills development, incentives for private investment, the ability to use external knowledge, and a culture of inquiry. Genuine partnerships between the United States and low- to middle-income countries can train young researchers, build basic and applied research institutes, and link developing countries to the global medical, scientific, and public health communities. But through significant sustained investment by the United States, in-country scientific research programs will emerge as the single most effective tool in global health.
Thank you for listening. To read more of these winning essays, please visit us at www.smartglobalhealth.org. We'll be highlighting a different essay on our blog every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the next several months, so continue to check back for regular updates. Thank you.